the presence of my enemies. Thank you.
Come on and give God some glory, Ascend Church. He's worthy of it all. The praise, the honor, the glory, the dominion and power are His both now and forevermore. Come on, let's give it to Him. Hey, come on. I'm going to tell my testimony this morning, and I'm sure yours sounds something very similar. One, two, three. I saw Satan fall like light. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. My praise belongs to you forever. Everybody help me out, say, this is my testimony from death to life. Grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous.
I'm justified.
Yes, this is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah. Here we go. Come together, sons and daughters. Blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Our God will finish what He started. Yeah, yeah. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous,
I'm justified.
This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah, yeah. This is my testimony. Break it down right here. The Bible says in Isaiah, we walked through waters, but we weren't drowned. We walked through fires, but we weren't burned. It's by the grace and the power of God. Hey. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. Help me out, say.
If I'm not dead, you're not done.
Greater things are still to come.
Greater things still to come.
Anybody believe?
Oh, I believe.
If I'm not dead,
you're not done.
He's not done. Greater things.
Greater things still to come.
Oh, I
believe.
I'm not dead,
if I'm not dead, you're not done.
My ladder shall be greater than the former.
Greater things still to
still come.
Oh, I believe.
If I'm
not dead, you're not done.
Greater things are still to come.
Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous.
I'm justified.
Hey. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous.
I'm justified.
This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
Church,
hallelujah.
I know
And we just went through Thanksgiving, so that turkey may have weighed some of us down. But we have to come to the house of the Lord with a shout and a praise. Come on. We have to lift up our hands and our voices and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody shout out this morning. Hey.
Here we go. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Whoa. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. And Jesus, for my Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is. shadows burn like a fire.
Oh, we worship you, Lord. Church, I want you to worship. I want you to sing Jesus this morning. We're going to speak the name of Jesus over it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And in our worship and in our praise, all addiction shall break. Hey. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Oh, shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. In Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, one time with a loud voice say,
shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Now somebody shout out a praise. Somebody shout out a praise. Now, at this point in the service, we'd like to have our prayer partners come forward. And if you need prayer today, we invite you to come forward and we're going to pray with you and agree in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Every time I come running, I find grace on repeat. You welcome me with open arms, no matter where I've been. Every time I surrender, every time I fall, I find grace more precious than I didn't before. So I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heaven for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart out, praise on repeat to the God who's not giving up on me.
You're the mercy in midnight, you're the kindness at dawn, my hope in every waking, and the strength I lean on. And every time it comes to sundown, and the night sets in, and let my soul remember just how good you've been. And again, my heart will say, so I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart out, praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Grace upon morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Praise upon praise,
God be exalted over and over again.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing. Grace upon grace, God be exalted over and over again.
Oh, grace,
grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Oh, grace,
grace upon grace, God be exalted over and over again.
I'm gonna lay,
so I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart out, praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Let's sing grace. Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing. And grace upon exalted over and over. Come on, sing grace.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Oh, grace,
grace upon grace, God be exalted over and over.
Sing grace.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Oh, grace.
Grace upon grace, God be exalted over and over again.
Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus the King is risen, he reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all, I surrender my all to him.
Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus the King is risen, he reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all, I surrender my all to him. Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus the King is risen, he reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all, I surrender my all to him.
Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus the King is risen, amazing grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all, and I surrender my all to Him. Someone shout out a praise this morning. Let's worship Him. Come on.
Well, so good worshiping with you this morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are to see them. Be seated. Thank you so much. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to all that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us today. I know a number of our members are traveling for Thanksgiving, and they've said they're going to be tuning in this morning. So welcome. We're glad you're joining us today. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. Anybody had a good Thanksgiving? Anybody didn't eat enough? I won't ask the other question, because we all know about the other question, right? But happy Thanksgiving to you all. There's nothing better than having a thankful heart for what we have. Amen. And I just want to welcome everyone present, and those watching online. I especially want to welcome, if we have anyone that's visiting for the first time today, we'd like to welcome you. Do we have anyone visiting for the first time today? I don't think I see anyone, but we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But if you're watching online, let us know where you're watching from. Just put a comment. If you're on Facebook Live, go ahead and share the live stream. Let us know where you're watching from. Follow the service with us. Comment on the message. And, you know, we watch various different ways. YouTube, Ascend Church, on our Ascend Church app. There's various ways that we watch on our website, and I like the variety that we're able to see service from wherever we are. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Just a little device. You can just watch, put earphones in. I love it. And a reminder that we're going to pass a register by during the service. Just fill your name out. That's a great help to us. I want to say happy birthday to Tom. Why don't you stand up, Tom? Taylor, come on. It's a big one today. We won't say which number, but it's blessings to you, my brother. You look good, you're strong, blessed, healthy, serving the Lord. Amen. Blessings of God follow those who honor Him. That's what the Word promises us. And sorry if I missed your birthday, but I just remembered it, and it was Sunday, and you were right there. So. Birthday to you. Just want to, we're going to receive the offering in a moment, but I want to remind you of our four main purposes. The four main purposes of our church is that you would know God, that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. And we're going to go into the offering this morning, and I love the, you know, we went to see The Chosen. Any of you been watching The Chosen series? So beautiful. And so we went with William and Shanta and Michelle, and we went on Sunday night and watched the premiere of season 3, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But at the beginning, they had a preview of the show David, the animated movie David. And it gets you so excited, when even in animation, just thinking about David. And when you think about David in the Bible, you know, you think of various things. You think of a warrior, because he was. David and his mighty men. You think of a king, he was. You think of someone who conquered. You think of the psalmist, the one who wrote beautiful songs to the Lord. You know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Just such beautiful poetry that he wrote to the Lord. But I love this passage that I'm going to read about David and his heart towards God, because the Bible says that David, God said, David is a man after my own heart. That meant he just, he pleased God. He wanted to please God, and God was pleased in him. So I want to hear what his attitude towards offering. And it just blessed me. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9, as you are, we're going to read this. You can, if you're watching online, it's very easy. You can go ahead and give. If you're sitting here, there's envelopes in the seats right where you are. And there's a variety of ways to give on our cash, on Cash App, text, online, on our website, on ascendchurch.us. But I'm going to read that scripture, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. It says, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. He wasn't shy about his faith, was he? He wasn't shy. He danced in his underwear around the streets when he worshiped God. It says, this is what David said in front of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Let's never forget that, right? Everything belongs to him. And he says, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Isn't that that's a heart filled with thanksgiving? That's a heart that says, God, here I am giving to you. And you know, if you read that chapter, if you see the incredible wealth that David gave into the building of the temple, it's enormous, but he plays it down because he says, how can I take the credit when everything I have comes from you? Amen. And what a great attitude, such a good attitude. You know, I was so blessed. Michelle's in media today, but she was sharing with me, and she said, never be discouraged when you share a scripture concerning the offering, because sometimes you face resistance because people go like, don't talk about money in church, or they just get uncomfortable or have a negative reaction. And she said, you know, from her previous experience, she'd had a little negative undertone towards offering, but she was a tither, and she was working at being cheerful by faith, being cheerful about it, right? Sometimes you do it by faith, you're cheerful. And then she said, when she realized something had changed in her heart, she said she got a second job. And she said the very first thought that came to her is, thank God I can now tithe more than I used to tithe. She said she didn't think about my credit card I got to pay off or what I could buy. She said my instant first thought was, I can tithe more. Let me tell you, that's when you know your heart's changed. Your heart's changed, because it's not a duty. It's an act of gratitude. It's an act of, if he asks me for everything, I'll give him everything, right? Because it all comes from him. Amen. So as you get ready to give, give with a thankful heart. And we are thankful for you. We appreciate those that are so faithful. That's how our church is supported. That's how this church is able to minister to people. And for the things we're going to do in the future, your faithful tithes and offerings are what enable us to do that. So thank you for doing that. And ushers, you can pass the offering buckets. Thank you. As we do that, we are going to just put up our Christmas calendar. Can you believe we're talking about Christmas already? Come on. It's only Thanksgiving. But we might as well do it, because it starts this week, December. So Christmas at Ascend, we got a few fun things coming up. How many of you like the decorations in the lobby? Thank you to our faithful people. We had Christmas carols, Carol and Carol. We had all our faithful people come and help us set that up, and we love it. Huh? A couple of Christmas carols, yeah, helping us. They were like elves. So Sunday, December the 11th, we're going to have a Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. So some of you who missed our Thanksgiving, we're looking forward to your food. But that's where you bring something. You know what I think of it as? What do I have to have at my table on Christmas? There's something that every year, year after year, it's traditional. It's what I would always have at Christmas, and we're going to share together around a lunch. On December the 18th, we're having a live nativity scene with a petting zoo outside. And the Children's Church, Ascend Kids, are going to have a Happy Birthday Jesus party. So kids, don't let your parents miss church that week. It's going to be so much fun. And then Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. Pastor, want to come on up? You might want to say something more about Christmas, but Christmas Eve, we're going to do a 6 p.m. service, and we had a show of hands, and we're going to do on the Christmas Eve will be in person and online. It'll be a short service. It's going to be beautiful, carols, so wonderful. Don't miss that if you're able to. And then on Christmas Day, we'll be online only. And I really would say make a time on your Christmas Day, because it'll be a different message to Christmas Eve. Make a time to actually just sit and enjoy a couple of Christmas songs and a Christmas message with whoever. It's a chance, whatever family members you're with, you'll be able to just share the story of Christmas from the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Am I on? You know this, am I on, Chester? Can you hear me? This year, Christmas Day is on Sunday. And so we thought a lot about it, prayed a lot about it. And what we've decided to do is we are going to have Christmas Eve service, which would be Saturday, December 24th at 6 p.m. Then on the Sunday morning, Christmas Day, I'm going to be filming a special service just for Christmas morning, and that will only be shown online. So it's going to be different to the Christmas Eve, different sermon, different setting. So we got the two different things. We got Christmas Eve, and then we got online Christmas Day, which I hope you'll join us for that. And that'll be at 10 a.m. on Sunday, on Christmas Day. Yes. Praise the Lord. Stand up with me if you would. We are going to worship the Lord. We got one more song we're going to do before we get into God's Word today. So I want to encourage you, let's just worship Him. The song is an oldie, but a goodie. Some of those older songs are just fantastic, and this is one of them. It's called Yours. And really, it's about the fact that it's all about Jesus, family. That's what we're here today. It's all about Jesus. He's the one who changed our life. He's the one who came to the earth to bring us life, to redeem us, to save us, to rescue us. So I want to encourage you to sing with us and worship the Lord from your heart this morning. Amen.
It all revolves around your throne. Who can know your glory? So high above, yet slain for us, you alone are worthy. And the praise is yours, and the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before. Reigning over us as we lift you up. You'll reign forever.
to come. God of every moment, forever crown is altar now. You alone are holy, and the praise is yours, and the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before, reigning over us as we lift you up. You will reign forevermore, and the praise is yours, and the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before, reigning over us as we lift you up. You will reign forevermore. You will reign forevermore.
Sing it out, church. Glory and praise. Power and strength.
Power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Glory and praise. Power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, glory and praise, power and strength, worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, glory and praise, power and strength, worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
We cry glory
and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You will reign forevermore.
We sing.
Lamb, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb, oh God. Hallelujah.
Come on, church, sing it out. Come on.
Glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Around you today. We give you praise. We worship you. Come on, let's worship him. Magnify him. Put your hands together and praise him. We praise you, Father. We worship your holy name. Father, we do. We lift you up today. We give you praise today. We magnify your holy name today, Father. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to the earth to rescue us from sin and death, to rescue us from hell and the grave. Thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together with the family of God in your presence. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. I thank you for touching every person, Lord. By your presence, by your spirit, I thank you for setting people free today. I thank you that bondages are broken in people's lives. I take authority over every addiction, every bondage. In the name of Jesus, I break your hold right now. I declare in the name of Jesus, you are free. I thank you, Lord, for healing people right now. I command sickness to go from people's bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that your healing power is flowing in this place today. Thank you that you are healing people, that your healing power is touching people today. And Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, the glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you that as I speak your word, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you anoint me, that you use me, that you help me, that you rise up in me, and that you speak your word. And Lord, I thank you that your word will go into every heart. I thank you for stirring us up, Lord, for giving us a passion for the lost. I thank you, Lord, that we are soul winners, that this is a soul-winning church, Father. And I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Come on, give the Lord praise again one more time. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. It's good to see you today. Favor. Oh, Monique, hand me my phone, would you, right there. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. One thing I'm going to do, and I encourage you to do this as well, I'm going on Facebook, and I'm going to go to the Ascend Church page, and I'm going to share today's live stream with my friends. And I would encourage you to do the same. It's a way for you to share today's service with your friends. So I just go on to Facebook, take me 1 second, and share. Watch our service at Ascend Church today. There we go. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do it. Thank you so much, Tom. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's Word today? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? How many of you know the most important part of Thanksgiving is being here today and giving thanks to God? That's what Thanksgiving is all about. That's what the Thanksgiving holiday, that's why we have it. That's why it started. It was a national holiday for us to give thanks to God for His goodness to us. Amen? Right? It's amazing today in America, you know, Black Friday, it's all the, you know, I don't know, the malls still packed on Black Friday. It's all online now, right? Used to be the malls would be packed. But the place should be packed is God's house because we give Him thanks. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Today, we are starting a new series. It's called The Rescue. Tell your neighbor, The Rescue. And about 12 years ago, we had Pastor Ed Young. He's the pastor of Fellowship Church in, I believe it's in Dallas, Texas. And he came and spoke at our church about 12 years ago. And he preached a message called "The Ring is the Thing." And he had a ring like this. And it's funny because I was in South Africa. When we were in South Africa recently, I really felt the Lord speak to me in my heart. And when we were at conference in Johannesburg, and I felt the Lord just say to me, "Souls, souls, souls, make disciples." And I knew what He was telling me. He was telling us that this is the time more than ever before when we need to be going after the lost. We need to be going after winning souls and making disciples. And so it made me think about that message that Ed Young preached all those years ago. I never forgot it. And so I was actually I texted Ed and I said, "Listen, I'm going to be preaching about soul winning, and I noticed that you're preaching a lot." That same message you preached 12 years ago at our church, I saw you was preaching it again. So I said, "I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use some of your content." He said, "Steve, use as much as you want." So he had this ring, this life ring. And this represents Jesus. He said, "The ring is the thing. This is what matters. And the hope is in the rope." What was he saying? What he was saying is, you see, Ed Young is an avid fisherman. He loves to fish. And so, there we go. And so he told this story about he and a friend of his were out fishing. They were fishing all day. They were on their way back to the marina. The sun was setting, and they weren't on a very big boat. It was only like 17 feet boat. And Ed said he just happened to look up at the horizon and just glanced at the horizon, and he saw a boat, and then he saw splashing about 100 feet behind the boat. He saw the splashing, and he realized it was someone in the water. So he shouted to his friend who was with him, "You know, I think someone's in the water." And his friend looked and said, "Yeah, that he's in trouble." So they headed over to help him, and he wasn't making any sounds. He wasn't yelling. It wasn't a lot of splashing. He was in the process of drowning. And Ed said this guy was really big. He was like, he looked like a offensive lineman for the NFL. He was like 6'7", over 300 pounds. And they didn't know how they were going to get him into the boat. But, you know, in a situation like that, your adrenaline takes over. And they each grabbed one of his arms, and they eventually heaved him into the boat, and he's throwing up salt water, and he's crying. I was going down for the last time. And Ed said to him, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, I fell overboard, and then the wind, it caught the boat, and it blew it away. I just couldn't catch it." And She said, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. And Ed said he thought to himself, wow, you know, we just rescued somebody from drowning. We just rescued, just saved their life. And so they took him back to his boat and they transferred him over to his boat and then they headed back to the marina. And this all of this happened within eyeshot of the marina. And there were a lot of other boats. And any time you go to a marina, there's a lot of boats tied up at the marina. And Ed saw this. He said, as they were driving in, he saw this beautiful big yacht. It must have been $1 million at least. And he saw this couple standing on the deck. And the guy was like ripped muscles. And the girl was, you know, she had this little tiny bikini on. And they were smiling at Ed. And they were waving at him, smiling and waving at them. And then he said the next thing, this guy whacked the girl on the behind. And said, I hope it was his wife. And Ed said when he saw that, he thought to himself, you know, that's weird. We were just in this life and death situation and here within our shot of the marina. And yet here these people are on the boat. They're tied up at the marina. They're smiling and waving and whacking each other on the bottom. While this guy is drowning, he's going down for the last time. And Ed said he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, Ed, that's the problem with so many Christians today, and that's the issue with so many churches today, because we're smiling and waving and whacking each other maybe on the back, not the bottom, while, you know, drowning people are sinking to the bottom without Jesus. And we kind of think, you know, we're on a pleasure cruise or something like that, but you know, we're a rescue boat. See, the Bible is all about rescue. That's what we are. The Bible is an analogy of the rescue. You hear people say, I got saved, right? That means they got rescued. That means, you see, God rescued mankind by sending Jesus to die on that cross and to suffer in hell, to rise again, paying for my sins and your sins, giving us the opportunity to be rescued, to be redeemed, to be set free, to be saved. The Bible says in Colossians 1 in verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God we've been rescued. Can you say amen? In Hebrews 2 verse 14, it says the Savior, he took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. In Hebrews 9 verse 15, it says, for Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins they had committed. Jesus died to rescue us from the penalty of our sins. And in Galatians 1 verse 4, it says, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God, our Father, planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Jesus gave his life to rescue us. The Message translation of Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world that we are in by offering himself as our sacrifice for our sins. And God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. That's God's plan. He wants everybody to be rescued. He wants every one of us to be part of this rescue. He wants us to be part of rescuing others. We've been rescued so we can rescue others. And you know, if you research yacht clubs in America, you'll find out that a lot of yacht clubs actually started out as rescue societies. A lot of them started out that way. That was a rescue societies was a group of boat owners who, you know, they'd get together, they have their boats ready, and if anyone got in trouble on the water, man, they'd go out and they'd rescue them. But you know how people are. They got tired of rescuing. It's not exactly fun going out there rescuing when there's a storm or something going on and you're out there. They got tired of it, so they just figured, listen, man, let's just get bigger boats
And let's just have a yacht club. Let's just hang around the marina, sip champagne and caviar, and let's just, you know, enjoy life. So now you've got thousands of yachts tied up. They don't move that much. They just sit there while the owners are sipping on champagne and caviar because they don't want to rescue anybody anymore. And let me tell you, that's what the church is like in a lot of ways. Because this, how many of you know, we're not a yacht club. We're not a pleasure cruise. We're a rescue boat. We're a rescue society. But too many Christians today have a marina mentality. It means, man, you know, I'm rescued. I'm okay, so I'll just tie up my boat. I'll just get on the Christian cruise ship, and everything will be good. But what did Jesus tell us? Right before Jesus went back to be with the Father, he told us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, this is known as the Great Commission. The word commission means a command to do something. This is called the Great Commission. This is Jesus giving us a command to go out into the world and to make disciples of other people. The Message translation says it like this. Jesus, undeterred, he went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I've commanded you, and I'll be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. Now, notice that this is a commission. This is a commandment that you go out into the world and that you make disciples. The ring is the thing. The Bible is all about rescue. If you are a follower of Jesus, hold up your hand if you're a follower of Jesus. If you've received Jesus in your life, then you know what? You've been rescued. You've been rescued. The ring is the thing. The ring is Jesus. God, in His grace, He threw this life ring. to drowning humanity. God has rescued us. Say, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. The ring is the thing. The hope is in the rope. And the rope is tied to the only thing that God ever built, and that is the church. The rope is tied to the church. That's where the rope is tethered to. Tied to the church. Amen. What is the church? The church is a fellowship. It's a bunch of fellows on a ship all rowing in the same direction. The word fellowship in Greek is the word koinonia. It means to gather in common. We gather here today for one common reason. That is because we've been rescued and we come to thank Jesus and we come to learn more about Him and we come to bring others that they may be rescued too. Is that right? Say, the ring is the thing. The hope is the rope. The rope must be tethered to the church. Then we all pull so the house can be full. Amen. But here's the question. Are you part of the pull? Are you part of this great rescue mission? Because if you're a believer, this is an accessory that you take with you everywhere you go. If I'm playing golf, I've got the ring with me. If I go to work, Jesus is with me at work. I've got the ring with me. If I go to school, I've got the ring with me at school. But you see, God doesn't want us just to walk around with this life ring. He wants us to use it. How do we use it? How do we use the ring? Some say, well, I can't rescue people, Pastor Steve. Listen, God doesn't ask you to. He just asks you to toss the ring. Just toss the ring and He'll take care of the rescuing. But the problem with most of us, we don't toss it. But we can become part of God's search and rescue operation. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who lost. And the Living Bible says he came to search for and to save lost souls. And in John 17, verse 18, Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I'm giving them a mission in the world. Well, what was Jesus' mission in the world? Jesus came to search for and to save lost souls, right? What is our mission? To search for and to save lost, to rescue lost souls. That's our mission. Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost. He gave us the same mission. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I want to be a part of saving the lost. I want to be a part of rescuing lost people. And let me tell you, just amazing stuff will start to happen. Because the fastest and number one way for the Holy Spirit to work in your life is when you start sharing your faith and you start sharing Jesus with other people. You know, a lot of people, they want to experience God. They want to go deeper in God, some kind of breakthrough or some kind of experience. But the Bible is all about the rescue. And the power of the Holy Spirit has been sent to empower us to be witnesses for Him. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power. For what reason? To testify about me. So there's no greater way to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life than when you start reaching out and tossing the ring and sharing your faith and telling people about Jesus. That's when the power of the Holy Spirit starts to work through you. He starts to speak through you. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. Have you been rescued? Well, now God wants you to be part of the rescue mission. See, the radically rescued rescue people radically. The church is not a yacht club. It's not a pleasure cruise. We are a rescue society. Now, there are many churches that are evangelistic. We are evangelistic. Evangelistic means that, you know, you invite people to come to church and we want them to hear I want you to hear Pastor Steve preach. And at the end, I'm going to give an opportunity, an altar call for people to receive Jesus. That's an evangelistic church. But very few churches are soul-winning, disciple-making churches. And can I tell you, I don't want us to just be an evangelistic church where every now and then you might invite someone to come to church and you're depending on me to share the gospel for them to be saved. I want us to transition from being an evangelistic church to being a soul-winning church. Do you know what a soul-winning church? A soul-winning church is where you go out there and you begin to share your faith and you begin to toss the ring and you begin to tell people about Jesus. You lead them to the Lord. Then you bring them to church and then you disciple them. You encourage them. That's God's plan. Can you say amen, somebody? That's what I want our church to be. And let me tell you, so does God. I want us to be a soul-winning church full of people making disciples for the Lord, where we go into the highways and the byways and we actually share Christ with others so that God's house will be filled. Jesus himself told us that in Luke 14, 23. He said, go into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Here's a question for you. You ready for this? Who are you discipling right now? Who are you discipling right now? Here's another question. Have you ever discipled somebody in your life? Because if the answer to those two questions is nobody, this message is for you today. And it's for me today. Because every one of us is to be discipling at least one person at all times, preferably more than one person. But at least one person where you are coming with them to church, you are encouraging them, you're sharing with them what you've learned, you're praying for them, you meet with them, you have coffee with them, you hang out with them. You simply, to disciple someone is to simply impart to them everything that I've learned. And every one of us should be discipling somebody right now. I want you to let that sink in. Are you with me? You need to be able to write your own rescue story. Because you have a testimony that is unique to yourself. And your testimony is undisputable. Nobody can argue with your story. Now, they might argue with you about the gospel, but they can't argue with your experience. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, if anyone asks you about the hope that is living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect. Always be ready. Say, I've got to always be ready to explain my faith. Say, I've got to always be ready to tell my story. You see, you have a testimony that is unique. And you need to be able to tell your story in 2 minutes. Not using any church terminology, but words that people that don't go to church can understand. Steve, are you telling me I need to share this? That's what Jesus told you and me to do. We are commanded to do this. Now, I know some people have a greater gift of evangelism and soul winning than other people do. Some people are better at it than others. But every single one of us is called and commanded to share our faith. And a lot of churches, they don't talk about this because you know why? Because it's too hard. Because you've got to listen to people. You've got to get involved in their messy lives. You probably end up hearing some cussing, maybe even a dirty joke. When you start working and ministering and talking to people who don't know Jesus, you're going to hear that kind of stuff. You've got to try and, you know, field some crazy questions out of left field. They're going to come flying at you. It's uncomfortable. But we are supposed to be comfortably uncomfortable. We are comforted by Christ, but we are uncomfortable for Him. See, a lot of Christians are not involved in this rescue. They may invite someone to church from time to time, and that's good. Praise God. I applaud you for inviting people. I thank you for inviting people. But what I'm after and what God is after is not just inviting someone to church occasionally, but I want to challenge you based upon the Word of God. I want to challenge you to personally share your faith, to give people an opportunity to receive Christ and then bring them to church and then you disciple them. That's the way God, that's the way it's supposed to work. What is a disciple? A disciple means to be a follower of Jesus, a student of Jesus. It means all you're going to do is you want to help people, you want to encourage them to follow Jesus. In Proverbs 24, verse 11, are you ready for this? It says, go and rescue the perishing. Go and rescue the perishing. How many of you know the Bible says, Jesus said, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. He who believes shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. People who don't know Jesus are perishing. The Bible says, go rescue the perishing. Why would you stand back and watch them stagger to their death? And why would you say, it's none of my business? The one who knows you completely and judges your every motive is also the keeper of your souls and not just yours. He sees through your excuses and he holds you responsible for failing to help those whose life is threatened. Listen, family, the Bible says God holds us responsible if we do not reach out to try and rescue people who are perishing around us. Right? In Luke 15, look what Jesus said in verse 7. He said, there will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, who comes back home, and who returns to the fold more so than for all the righteous people who never strayed away. The Bible says there is more rejoicing in heaven over one, when one person is rescued, when one person receives Jesus, there is a celebration in heaven. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know enough to do that. Do you have a story? Have you been rescued? Have you received Jesus in your life? Well, then you do have a story. Just share your story. After Jesus cast the demons out of a man called the madman of Gadarenes, he told him in Mark 5, verse 19, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things God has done for you and how merciful he has been to you. He said, just go tell your friends the wonderful things that God has done for you. All you got to do, just tell people what wonderful things, what God's done in your life. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to teach you how to do this using your personality, how to share your faith. Your story, because we all have a story, we all have a testimony. It consists of three different parts, your story. Number one, your life before you received Jesus. What was your life like before you received Jesus? Number two, how you became a follower of Jesus. And then number three, what God has done in your life since you've received Jesus. Now, what we're talking about here today, family, is life and death. It's even more than life and death. It's eternal life and death. And how many of you know we're all going to die? We are all going to die. I don't care how much you exercise. I don't care how healthy you eat. Your last meal could be carrot juice and bean curd soup. You're going to die. Every one of us are going to die. And there is a world beyond this world. Do we still believe there's a heaven and there's a hell? Because the church doesn't talk a lot about this today. But the Word of God talks a lot about it. In Jude 1 verse 23, the Scripture says, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. What do you think that's talking about? Rescue people by snatching them out of the flames of judgment. What do you think that means? If we don't rescue people by leading them to Jesus, they will go to hell. If we don't rescue people by leading them to Jesus, sharing our testimony, sharing our faith, telling our story, they will go to hell. Jesus spoke a lot about hell. Jesus spoke about a rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus, and he told about what happened when they died. And this is not a parable. This is actually a real true story because Jesus used names, and he never used names when telling a parable. In Luke 16, verse 22, it says, one day poor Lazarus died, and the angels of God came and escorted his spirit into paradise. And the day came that the rich man also died, and in hell, he looked up from his torment, and he saw Abraham in the distance, and Lazarus, the beggar, was standing beside him in the glory. So the rich man shouted, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames of fire. Who said that? Who am I quoting? Jesus Christ is the one who said this. But Abraham responded, my friend, don't you remember, while you were alive, you had all that you desired, surrounded in luxury, while Lazarus had nothing. Now Lazarus is in the comforts of paradise, and you are in agony. Besides, between us, there is a huge chasm that cannot be bridged, keeping anyone from crossing from one realm to the other, even if he wanted to. So the rich man said, then let me ask you, Father Abraham, to please send Lazarus to my relatives. Tell him to witness to my five brothers and warn them not to end up where I am in this place of torment. So when you die, you either go to paradise, heaven, or you go to hell. There's only two options. Abraham replied, they've already had enough warning. They have the teachings of Moses and the prophets, and they must obey them. But what if they're not listening, the rich man added. If someone were to, If someone from the dead were to go warn them, they would surely repent. And Abraham said to him, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe, even if someone was raised from the dead. Jesus spoke about hell. He spoke about it often. In Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus said, heaven can only be entered through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and this gate is wide enough for all the multitudes that choose its easy way. Jesus said the pathway, that the way to heaven is narrow, but the way to hell, the highway to hell is broad. In Matthew 10, 28, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Some churches don't even believe there is a hell. Some churches don't talk about it. There are very few churches that you will even hear the word hell mentioned. You know why? Because we don't offend anybody. We'd rather let people go to hell than offend them. Think about that. That the church is not talking about hell. And as a result, I don't think we have enough of an urgency to reach out to people and realize these people are going to go to hell without Jesus. In Mark 9, verse 43, Jesus again, he said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. Jesus spoke about the unquenchable fires of hell. In Matthew 25, verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you know God never created hell for people? Do you know that it was prepared for the devil and his angels? But if you don't want anything to do with God, there's a place that has nothing to do with God, and it's called hell. All of God's goodness is removed. That's why it's so hot. There's fire. There's no water. There's no grass. There's no food. There's no good thing in hell. It's just absolute place of agony and desolation. God never created it for people. But if we don't receive Jesus, if we don't receive the ring, if we don't receive Jesus to rescue us, that's where we will go. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, they will be punished in everlasting hell, forever separated from the Lord, never to see the glory of his power. Revelation 20, verse 15, anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into the lake of fire. And then finally, in Isaiah 14, verse 9, it says, hell from beneath is excited about you, excited to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you. Now, I didn't just read one scripture, two scriptures. I read a number of scriptures where Jesus spoke about hell. Now, in February, our good friend Bill Weiss is going to be back with us. He hasn't been with us in many years. He had an amazing experience where the Lord took him and showed him hell, and he wrote a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. Now he travels the world telling his story, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been rescued and received Christ in their life. He's going to be with us in February, and it's going to be a major soul-winning event for our church, because we are going to go out there, and we are going to bring people in. And this place is going to be filled up, and we're going to see a lot of people get saved. This year, we're going after souls. That's what the Lord told me. Souls, souls, souls. Make disciples. And let me tell you, hell is real. It's a place of agony. It's a place of torment. Jesus went and suffered in hell in our place, so we don't have to go there. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 27, you will not leave my soul in hell or let the body of your Holy Son decay. David was looking far into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection and saying that the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell and his body would not decay. Why did Jesus go to hell? He went to hell because he took our sin and our punishment, and that was the consequence. And Jesus paid the price so we don't have to go to hell. If we really understand and if we really believe in hell, We will do everything we can to rescue people. We don't want them to go there. Yet most Christians don't do this. Why? Because it's hard. They don't know how. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn out how. I'm going to make it as simple as I possibly can. A lot of Christians just make excuses. So what happens is Christians end up substituting something else in place of soul winning and in place of discipling others. They'll be like, oh, okay, Pastor Steve, I don't really want to disciple anyone. I don't really want to win souls. I don't want to talk to anyone about Jesus. I don't want to share my faith. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get involved at church and I'll serve instead. Okay? Listen, that's great, but that's not the deal. It's important that we serve. And we've got a lot of people that do, and we are very grateful for everyone who serves at this church. If you're not serving, you're swerving. And as you serve, you're actually part of the pull. And it's great. We love you. Thank you for serving. But serving is not fulfilling the great commission Jesus gave us of going into the world and making disciples. Maybe you say, well, I'm not going to win souls or disciple anyone, but I'll give my money instead. Not only must we serve, God wants us to sow into His kingdom. And it's great that you give. Thank you. It takes money to fulfill the Great Commission. It takes money to run a church. How do you think we're sitting in this building? You think they let us sit here for free? There's thousands and millions of dollars to be sitting in this building. And we're sitting here because people gave sacrificially to this church. Jill and I have given sacrificially to this church. Last month, we gave $15,000 to this church. We gave $15,000 to help this church. There are many other people that I know have given sacrificially to help and to sow into the kingdom of God. And I encourage you to sow into this rescue society. But it's not a substitute for doing what Jesus told us in Matthew 28 about going into the world and making disciples. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. Do you know if you love Jesus, we'll see it in your actions. In 1 John 5, verse 3, it says, do we love God? Do we keep His commands? The proof that we love God is it comes when we keep His commands and they are not at all troublesome. Do you know the only way that you prove that you love God is by doing what He said? If you don't do what He said, you do not love God. That's according to Jesus. If you love me, you will show it by doing what I said. If we love God, we'll do what He said. I heard another preacher, his name is Adrian Rogers, and he said, I'm going to quote what he said. He said this, I want to quote it. He said, most of the people in our church are not active soul winners, and that's tragic. You say, but I give my money. I don't care how much money you give. If you're not endeavoring to bring souls to Christ, you are not right with God. You say, well, I teach. I don't care how eloquently you teach. If you're not trying to bring souls to Jesus, you're not right with God. You say, well, I attend church faithfully. I don't care how much you attend church. If you're not trying to bring souls to Jesus, you're not right with God. You say, well, I lead a clean moral life. I don't care how circumspectly you live. If you're not endeavoring to bring souls to Jesus Christ, you are not right with God. Andrew Murray said there are two classes of Christians, soul winners and backsliders, and you're one or the other. If you don't have a passion to see people come to Jesus, I wonder if you know the Jesus that I know. What about people who've wandered away from God? Do they need rescuing? Can I read another scripture to you? James 5, verse 19. Look, this is powerful, man. It says, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Now, this says, if you know people, they were following the Lord, but they wandered off. Go after them. And if you go after them, you will rescue them from destruction. You will have rescued lives from destruction. Can I tell you, I don't believe in the philosophy, once saved, always saved. Because of scriptures like that. Here's another powerful scripture. This is what Jesus said about the end times. In Matthew 24:12, he said, sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved, will be rescued. The Passion Bible said, then many will stop following me and fall away. There will be such an increase of the sin of lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But hold your hope firmly to the end and you will experience life and deliverance. See, we've got to stay passionate for God. We've got to stay on fire for the Lord. And can I tell you, one of the greatest ways that you can stay on fire for God is by winning souls. One of the greatest ways that you can keep your passion is by reaching out to lost people. Who are you discipling right now? Have you ever discipled anyone in your life? Because some Christians spend their whole life never disciple anybody. But every one of us is called to be making disciples. And every one of us is to disciple at least one person, preferably more than one. Can I tell you, you are plan A in God's rescue plan, and He doesn't have a plan B. You plan A. So many people, they'll worship, that's easy. They'll go on a mission trip, that's fun. They'll serve in church, that's easy. They'll give, that's easy for most of us, not for everybody. But when it comes to soul winning, when it comes to sharing our faith with someone else, someone who's going to hell, it's like, very few of us do that. The quickest way to see the Holy Spirit work in your life and use you, to see the power of the Holy Spirit working through you, is when you start sharing your faith with others. It's the number one reason the Holy Spirit came to the earth. And can I tell you, the enemy, he doesn't want you to do this. The devil doesn't want you to do this. So what will happen? What does he do? He will do everything he can to distract us. If Christians were more consumed with soul winning, they wouldn't have time to get involved in dissension and strife and disputes. They wouldn't get time again. They wouldn't have time. If they were consumed with soul winning, you've got churches with strife and division, all kind of things going on, because the enemy's distracted them from what really matters. There's two times the devil shows up in the church service. I tell you right now. Number one, when you start talking about evangelism, when you give an altar call for people to receive Christ, I can watch and see it happen. People start getting agitated. People start leaving. They've got to go. The enemy hates altar call. And the second place the enemy shows up at church is when you talk about giving in the offering. And he shows up. Some people are just not interested in soul winning. Say, oh, Pastor Steve, I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper into the things of God. The deepest thing you can do is become a soul winner. Because can I tell you, all rescues happen in deep water. I'm talking about being intentional, about inviting people, engaging with people, sharing the gospel with others. That's why we're here. That's why we do church every week. We're all called, commanded by Jesus to win souls, to make disciples. Let's show God we love Him by by doing what he commanded us to do. Lord, I want to show you that I love you because I'm going to do what you've commanded me to do. So today, I'm going to give you a little homework. You don't usually get homework at church, but today you're getting some homework. On the handout that you received when you came in today, on the back of it, it's got a place for you to write your story. And I'm going to ask you, when you go home this week, please take some time and write out your story. We're not looking for 20 pages here. We're looking for, at the most, what you can fit on that sheet, at the most. And you want to write down, what was your life like before you received Jesus? Now, for me, I received Jesus when I was 16 years old. And before then, I had no purpose. I was unfulfilled. I didn't have peace in my life. And when I received Jesus in my life, he gave me a purpose. He gave me fulfillment. And he gave me peace like I'd never known. How did you become a follower of Jesus? Well, I wasn't raised going to church. My family never went to church, but when I was about 15, my mother dragged me along to this church, and I went with a whole bunch of my friends. At the end, the pastor asked, if you died today, what would happen to you? If you're not sure, raise your hand. I raised my hand. That night, I received Jesus in my life. My whole life changed. What's God done in your life since then? Oh, my goodness. That should be the biggest section of what God has done in your life since you received Jesus. I want to encourage you. You have a unique story. You have a unique testimony. Nobody in the whole world has your testimony. And God will use it. He's looking for people. And I want to encourage you this week, please go write your story, because over the next few weeks, God is doing a transition in this church. And we are going to be a soul-winning church, disciple-making church. Every one of us discipling someone. Tell your neighbor, you're looking at a disciple maker. You are looking at a disciple maker. Tell them you're looking at a soul winner. You are looking at a soul winner. Say, I am part of God's rescue society. Say, my purpose on this earth is to share Jesus with others, is to rescue others. That's the greatest thing you can do with your life, is to rescue other people. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? What's wrong? Praise the Lord. Well, won't you stand up with me for a moment as we close? Praise the Lord. The rescue. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much. Father, thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your only Son, Jesus, to come to this earth to rescue us, to save us. Thank you, Father. We love you. We are so grateful that you've saved us from the penalty of our sin, that you've written our name down in the book of life, that heaven is our eternal home. We are so grateful, Lord. We are going, we determined to that we are going to be part of your rescue operation. We are going to go and search out and seek for lost people and share our faith. We're going to write our story. We're going to be ready to explain our faith, explain the hope that we have within us. Father, I thank you that every single one here today is a soul winner. They are making disciples for you. I thank you, Father, for all the people that are going to be saved and rescued as a result of the people in this room today and the people watching this today. Thank you that multitudes of people will be rescued. Thank you, Lord, for using us. Lord, thank you for giving us opportunities, bringing opportunities across our path for us to share our faith and to reach out. Thank you for giving us a boldness. I pray that every one of us will walk out of here filled with a boldness to speak for you in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed and
your eyes closed, before we go home today, as I said, we always give people an opportunity to just make sure that all is right, that all is well between them and God. If you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest, say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and tremble. What I am asking you is, are you certain if you died tonight that you would go to be with the Lord in heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can be certain of that. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord, knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can walk out of here this morning knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There's a heaven that awaits us. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, to move out and come to the front. But right where you're standing while we have our head bowed, our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to receive Jesus in my life. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just quickly slip your hand up high. Just raise your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, look up at me. Look up at me. I'm believing God, and I want to ask you to be praying and believing with me that this year is going to be a tremendous year for this church, winning souls, that every single one of us is going to win souls and make disciples in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Listen, God bless you. We love you. We pray you have a great week. Next week is next Sunday. We go into December, and don't forget our Christmas events. Take a look on our website and on the Facebook about things that are happening over Christmas, some good things to invite people to. Have a great week, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next time. We have prayer on Thursday night. We have youth today. The Christmas party for Ascend Youth is December 18th, and this Thursday's prayer. Amen. We need to add that to our... We'll do that, Abel. Praise the Lord. Thank you for music. Forgiveness like the tide rolling in, taking up the space where shame has lived, receiving all that you died to give. Let the wind blow, let the tide roll. To the earth knows you're a God of love. Let my dry bones sing a new